Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Friday. Brian Kamenetsky and Andy Kamenetsky. Lonnie Walker the IV makes his preseason debut for the Lakers. How'd it go? That's next on Locked On Lakers.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, sometimes on weekends, no matter how or where you get your podcasts. Always free, never behind a paywall. Locked On Lakers today, want to let you know it's brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. So Lonnie Walker the IV makes his debut for the Lakers in Thursday's preseason loss to Minnesota. The Lakers now 0-3 on the preseason as we try to win a preseason game ever.
Well, I mean, they, to be fair to the Lakers, did not try their damnedest to win this one.
No,
this was
no,
a game where LeBron did not play. Anthony Davis, who, if he didn't end up playing in Tuesday or Wednesday's game, I should say, against Phoenix because of that back tightness, they made no sense to actually put him in the back-to-back of this. They're going to, I would say, look to get him in on Sunday. Russell Westbrook didn't play. Kendrick Nunn didn't play. Patrick Beverley didn't play. And obviously, Troy Brown Jr. and Dennis Schroeder, although the latter, we'll get into that, they were not available for this game either. So this was not exactly the Lakers putting out their best squad. And Minnesota actually played all of their regulars available.
Absolutely. They played their dudes. So this is at least, though, LA's ninth straight preseason loss. I haven't gone back to look and see what they did the year before. Like, is it 10? Is it 11? I don't know. But it's been a minute since they won a preseason game.
Sure.
You mentioned Anthony Davis and the Lakers not playing him tonight, Thursday night. I take it to mean from you that while there might have been a modicum of concern over yesterday's game, the idea that AD would just be on that report late scratch, really, he was announced with the starters, and then that they changed that. You are reserving concern, large concern, until Sunday. If he doesn't play Sunday, that sets off more alarms.
Yeah, I mean, that would be far more concerning. Like, if you weren't going to play AD out of precaution in Wednesday night's game, to me, it makes no sense to then have him play without, you know, the top end of the rotation and put that much more of a physical burden and demand and responsibility on him.
Give him one more day. Like, you know, as much as you want these guys to play, because you could argue too, it's the preseason, the burn is more important. You want to get the run, the timing, blah, blah, blah. I think, you know, in principle, I think you're right. But it's like, it's unfortunate they have back-to-back games in this freaking preseason. That's something the NBA probably should try to avoid. I understand it's Vegas, it's back-to-back games in a specific venue that both the league and LeBron James are promoting. Something else maybe we'll talk about in today's show. But it's just a shame. It's just a shame that he couldn't get on the floor. It's a shame that it's set up this way, but it really does make sense to give somebody the extra day to make sure they are 100% healed. You're not doing, if he doesn't play Sunday, massive alarm bells though. One guy, Andy, who did play today, who did play Thursday night, making his preseason debut, his Lakers debut, none other than Lonnie Walker the IV. He finishes in this game with 23 minutes played, 10 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, steal, 2 block shots, 4 of 13 from the floor, 1 of 7 from 3-point range. First preseason game, first game he's played in a while. A little rust, a little lack of efficiency is not unexpected. What stuck out to you about Lonnie Walker?
Well, I mean, first of all, he had maybe the highlight of the game for the Lakers, going off a defensive rebound. He took the ball up court, and then he split defenders around the arc, going behind his back, drives to the rim, converts a circus shot. And like in that sequence, you could see Lonnie Walker's athleticism. You could see that ability to attack. You could see some handle. It was all on display. Like, he had some really nice sequences. There was one where he got a steal on Anthony Edwards, took the ball up court, then hit a pull-up three. He actually, I think, could have had three or four assists in this game. Like, there were a few sequences where he had some really nice sequences, some nice passes where he set up teammates on good looks, and they just didn't knock him down.
There was a lot of that. This was not a lineup that was going to facilitate assist getting.
No,
for any guard.
No, exactly. So, I mean, I was just looking at how he tried to craft the looks as opposed to the results of them. So his one assist, I think, is misleading.
Yes, you also, that was on a really nice pick and roll with Thomas Bryant, another guy we will get to over the course of the show. But Tom, they doubled Walker off the high screen. Bryant's rolling the basket completely alone. Great pass from Walker over the top to get it to him. I mean, he's wide open, so if you just get the ball, but had to go over the double team to do it. So it's a really nice play, nice read to recognize that quickly from Walker.
Yeah, I mean, that being said, he missed some pretty wide open jumpers in this game. Like, his jumper was pretty erratic in general. He hit the three that I talked about, pull up after that steal on Anthony Edwards, is the only three he hit in this game. Defensively, I thought he worked, and he had a couple of nice sequences. There were also some where he got used, although to be fair, Anthony Edwards beats a lot of guys off the dribble.
D'Angelo Russell. He did, though, have trouble sticking with people on the perimeter, certainly. Yeah.
But, again, he hasn't played in a while. He's coming off an ankle injury. Darvin Ham afterwards really praised his effort on both ends, praised that athleticism. It is going to be interesting, though, just seeing as Walker starts playing more and, Dennis Schroeder, who is Dave McMenamin from ESPN, our friend, reported that his visa issue has been worked out. There's some hope that he's going to be available for Sunday's game against the Warriors. You're going to start seeing the rotation fill out more. And we've talked about this throughout the offseason, like where Lonnie Walker's minutes are going to come, assuming they come at all, is I think a very interesting developing story for this team.
It's a wide open question. It's funny, like, you talk about all the stuff that Walker did well, some of the stuff he did, and we'll get a little more in the second segment. But what I thought was kind of crazy about it is it's kind of a parallel of a lot of the things that we've seen through the three preseason games for the Lakers generally. It's like, even game one, which we both were like, folks, ignore the score, look at the pot. They still shot the ball horribly, from 3-point range. They didn't rebound the ball particularly well and were punished for it by Sacramento in that game. And then you go into, the second game against Phoenix, and the Lakers again don't shoot particularly well from 3-point range. 32% overall. And if not for Kendrick Nunn, would have been a lot worse. And then you look at it tonight, or Thursday, and not super worried about it given the lineup that they put out. If this batch of Lakers plays to these, it doesn't. The 3-point percentage is the least of anyone's concerns. 22.4% though. We've just sort of seen a lot of these good points and bad points that are kind of baked into the Lakers roster. They've looked much more athletic. Walker looked great going downhill, particularly in that first sequence that he played. You mentioned the three-pointer. You mentioned the play behind his back. There was another one where two plays before that, that really crazy behind the back sequence where he, again, got to the basket and looked, I dished off to Bryant, who was fouled on that play. That should have been another finish for Bryant and another assist for Walker. I don't know what any of this translates into once the season begins. And they have obvious flaws and obvious places where they've gotten better. One place where I do think Walker surprised me, I will tell you about that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by BetOnline, BetOnline.net, your number one source for all your pro and college football betting needs and sports info this season. Find all the latest football league developments, game matchups, news and podcasts, BetOnline is also your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. The fastest, easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MLB, MMA, boxing, golf, and of course, the NBA, the 2023 season, right around the corner. Get your money in early if you think some of the odds, for example, like 22-1, the Lakers to win the championship. If you think Lakers aren't getting enough respect from our friends over at BetOnline.
They're drinking the haterade, Andy.
Now is the time to put in your money before those odds get worse with the payout. Darvin Ham, by the way, 18-1 for Coach of the Year. If you feel like the Lakers are getting disrespected, maybe Darvin Ham getting disrespected as well. Head to the website today. Use your mobile device. Learn more about the trends in action. Bet online where the game starts.
Lonnie Walker passed the ball far more effectively than I would have thought. I'm not expecting him to, be Chris Paul incarnate, but the Lakers, because nobody played, went from having entirely too many guards to basically having Scottie Pippen and Austin Reeves when he was out there as a ball handler and Lonnie Walker. And so Darvin let Walker really do a lot of the work initiating the offense. He looked better there than I thought. And then on those drives and kicks, he looked better than I thought. You mentioned the three assists for Walker. It could have been five or six or seven easily.
Yeah, I wanted to correct myself. I'd initially said one. It actually was three, but I do think
it felt like one because the Lakers had so much trouble scoring. They only scored 37 points in the middle two quarters.
I think I assumed because I saw so many looks he set up not go down that it actually was one. But, this is where actually I was thinking about with Dennis Schroeder hopefully being able to play this weekend. But either way, he's going to be on the court soon because this visa issue's worked out. And Darvin Ham said that he's been keeping himself in shape this whole time. He played with the German team, so there's no concern about conditioning. I think this is going to be beneficial because, A, you get another ball handler out there. But Dennis being available, I think is going to do a
live
lot.
Look at Dennis's workout routine.
I think Dennis is going to do a lot to give Darvin an idea of how the second unit's going to work, because among the 70 billion guards that the Lakers have on this roster, with the ones who I think will be in the rotation, Schroeder is one of the few that I don't picture starting at all. And maybe this could be a byproduct of my wish casting because
fool us once, shame on you, Dennis. Fool us twice.
As I've said many times, I think the Lakers screwed that up from the beginning during Dennis's last season with the team. The only reason, as somebody who's never been a huge fan of his game, that I like that trade is I assume they were bringing him in to be like an exemplary six man, which he's really capable of being, and that's a really valuable role. But I think he actually will help. He's the best point guard, like the best facilitator, lead guard that they would have coming off the bench. Like there are other guys who can do some of that, but I think he's the best one that they have.
I'm not sure Reeves isn't a little bit better as a decision maker and a true distributor, but among the
– I think he's
– point guard. Reeves, it's certainly an argument you can make for Schroeder.
I think Reeves maybe by the end of this season could prove himself being that, but I don't think he has enough of a track record where I would say that he, on a full-time basis, I would say he's better than Schroeder. We'll see. It's certainly possible. Again, I've never been a massive Schroeder fan to begin with, but I think having Schroeder there is going to allow Darvin to start figuring out more, I think, clearly what he wants the bench rotation to be and who he'd want out there 1-3. And that obviously affects Lonnie Walker because he's another guy that I don't anticipate starting, and the minutes are a bit of a mystery.
It's a shame. This is, I think, the biggest, other than the massive concern that it raises, potentially just starting the year with Anthony Davis banged up and missing games, is the whole purpose of Wednesday's lineup was to try, Darvin wanted to see the small lineup. And I mean, to some degree they did, but that's what the kind of the decision is. Like if you want to play Walker and Schroeder and Nunn and Beverly and Westbrook. You have to go small. And so you need to be able to see what that lineup looks like on the floor. Can it sustain itself defensively? What does it look like? Can you get Reeves out there? Which combinations work? Which ones don't? I would be surprised, assuming guys are available, I would be very surprised to not see them try that again in one of the three remaining preseason games, especially now that Schroeder's back in the lineup and Walker and all that.
And they want to get Troy Brown back, you know, soon, see point, what he looks like with everyone.
You know, you want to see, as the coach, at least I think one dress rehearsal of how do I manage some of these minutes. I want to try it in one game where the end result doesn't count. Not that you can't mess around with your rotation and tinker with stuff and move minutes around. They're going to have to do some of that stuff in the regular season. And, you know, but they just, you don't want to, especially with the Lakers early season schedule, it is brutally hard.
Yes.
So you can only do so much rotation Jenga, I think. And even if you really want to see a guy or see a combination or whatever, you can't get too disjointed early because the teams you're playing are so competitive. So I, again, assuming everybody's available, I think they'll do at least one game where they try to figure out, okay, if I really do want to play seven guards, how am I going to do
this? Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I think it's going to be impossible for him unless he just thinks the version of us as small as possible, even with all of, you know, the weaknesses they'll be exposed and, you know, that'll be exposed and just the problems that you're going to have with matchups, particularly defensively, like this is just the best version of ourselves, problematic as it may be. It's going to be impossible. Like one or two of these guys minimum are going to end up sitting. Like, well, there's just we'll no to, other way
let's
to do
get
to it.
Bryant here in a second, but like to there is the other half of this is how well the other guys play. And I know we were talking a little about Wenyen Gabriel before the show. We can set him aside for a minute because I think at least going into the season, his role is fairly,
I mean, his contract wasn't even guaranteed.
Right. I mean, assuming he stays on the team, he is going to be that kind of fill in when Anthony Davis can't play potentially. So you don't, you know, wreck a rotation, whatever it is, come in, hustle. You know exactly what you're going to get from Wenyen Gabriel. Damian Jones hasn't looked particularly good. We'll get to Bryant here, who did play his first really good game of the preseason. It's only been three, but played very well, I think, on Thursday. But Jones has looked less good. So the only point I'm making there is those guys get a vote too. I've been very bullish on the center rotation and the improvement that they made there. But if guys don't play and they don't play well, that obviously changes the math. Maybe you don't have to play both of those guys. Maybe you just play one of them. If you need a floor stretcher, you put Brian in or whatever. I suspect they'll still probably open with a traditional center, but those small lineups do get easier to play and more appealing if one or two of those guys just isn't performing.
Yeah, it's a really tricky balance because you know that the Lakers' closing lineup is most likely going to be Anthony Davis at center unless they're playing against a team that's really got a lot of size and you have to counter that with size of your own. But for the most part, it's going to be AD at the five, LeBron at the four. And that reflects that being your best lineup because that's what you're closing with. So you start thinking about, okay, what's the gap between our best closing lineup and these other lineups that we're running? And depending on how we determine that gap, then you ask yourself the question, why are we running these other lineups? You know what I mean? Like if the gap is not that big or it's just, you know, practical considerations, then fine. You run with the more traditional lineup. You know, it is a replication of sorts of the 2020 championship look. But if the gap is pretty big and you're like, I'm not sure we can actually justify doing this.
Right.
Then you start thinking about, okay, one of those centers or hell, maybe both of them, depending on, you know, Gabriel or whatever, like his presence, one or both of them just isn't in the rotation. But I agree with you. Damian Jones has not looked particularly good during the preseason. I thought this was a breakout game for Thomas Bryant. And we'll talk about that, but you know, to be fair to him, he didn't really play against Phoenix till the fourth quarter. And that's right. tough to just walk in cold, you know, walk in cold with a, you know, a bunch of guys who may not be in the NBA or like the big club like that. To be fair to Thomas Bryant, that's a tough ask.
Absolutely.
But he did not look good in that setting either, but he played very well against Minnesota.
Yeah, I would agree. And so, yeah, we'll see what goes. Thomas Bryant, though, had a really, really good game. So we'll get to that next. So the final line for Bryant, 5 of 8 from the floor, 7 rebounds. That's a significant number because he's not been necessarily been a great rebounder over the course of his career. He had an assist. He had a steal. He had a block. +9 in 18 minutes, which is not easy in a game the Lakers lost by +9 in 26 minutes, I should say. 18 points, not easy in a game where the Lakers lose by 15. No three-pointers. He was 0 for 2. Again, the Lakers shot 22.4% on Thursday, so certainly had a lot of company there. The big number that stuck out, certainly on offense, was 10 trips to the line. Made 8 of them. So for the Lakers, you know, who need good free throw shooting, that is a nice stat right there. But 10 free throw attempts in 26 minutes for Thomas Bryant gives you an idea of the kind of energy he was showing throughout the game. And by the way, just to put it out there, he's a career 75% three-point shooter, shot 87% last year from the free throw line. 76% three-point shooter. He'd be not playing on a minimum, but what a steal. But he is actually a good free throw shooter. So that is worth factoring into this whole question of who's going to play.
Yeah. And I mean, he's never been somebody that lives at the line, but I mean, one of the things though, that those 10 free throws reminded me of, you know, he was really attacking the rim in this game. He's working well off ball, getting set up on the run in transition and, you know, able to draw these fouls, you know, finish on a couple, but, you know, definitely just draw it. But also, too, it's a reminder that he's a more physical player than Damian Jones. Like, Thomas Bryant's a big dude. You know, he's a big physical dude. He's not necessarily like a dirty work guy. Like, he's not Charles Oakley. And as you mentioned before, he's not a rebounder. He's not somebody like that. But it's interesting in the sense that I think he is a more skilled player, like overall skill, than Damian Jones. Damian Jones, though, I think, however you define his lane, he is better in his lane than Thomas Bryant is in however you define his lane.
Right.
Or if nothing else, Damian Jones' lane.
How much of that do you think, to this point at least, in the limited action we've seen with the Lakers, how much do you think is Bryant to some degree still kind of working his way back into not NBA, you know, but he didn't play a whole lot last year. When he did, it was right on the heels of coming back from an injury. Jones has been able to kind of lock into being Damian Jones. It's a very specific role. It is limited in what it's supposed to be. Kind of by definition, Damian Jones is only supposed to do kind of so many things.
That's what I was saying. But his lane is much more defined,
Thomas Bryant. Very narrow lane. It has fewer things in it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how much of that do you think is Bryant just perhaps overworking to try to regain the type of form that he had that got him that contract with Washington?
I mean, it's hard to say from a distance. You know what I mean? Like, that's difficult to know.
He seems very sped up, but also I kind of forgot what Bryant plays like, you know, and he's always been kind of a high energy dude. He looks a little sped up.
I mean, I think it's difficult to say from a distance. You know, we're not in Vegas with the team, so we're not seeing it up close. We're not seeing him practice anything like that or shoot arounds. You know, I think also too, Thomas Bryant through these 3 preseason games has been asked. I don't even know if he's been asked to do different things, but what I do know is he's been asked to come into the game at very different times with very different teammates. And for somebody who, if you think getting his feet back, you know, like sort of getting his equilibrium back is a thing, that's a really difficult setting to try to rediscover it. So I think it's just been a little bit chaotic for Thomas Bryant, period. But this was a game where I think if you're somebody that was hoping he could make an impact for the team this year, you liked what you saw.
Yeah, for sure. It was just nice to see him have a positive impact. And like what you really want is a situation where Darvin is being given a lot of really difficult choices where, you know, geez, man, Lonnie Walker really looks good. But yeah, you can't do that because, you know, Pat Bev's been great and, you know, it's Pat Bev and, you know, Russ is really, you know, out there doing exactly what you want Russ to do. And that's going to, you know, maybe keep his playing time a little bit higher than people expected. And, you know, geez, Austin Reeves, 8 assists against, you know, Phoenix. And, you know, that was just the first half, right?
9 assists in all.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, you know, doing all kinds of stuff. You want these hard decisions. Obviously, it's not going to work out that way, probably, but as many as you can possibly stack on top of each other. So I thought, you know, I don't think Walker did anything to disqualify himself.
No, no,
from that on Thursday. You know, the idea like, oh, here's a guy who's going to, I thought Darvin, you know, making a point that he's done this with Walker. He did it with Russ after the opening game. He's making a point of noting when guys are doing what they're asked to do from an effort standpoint defensively. It's not just, did they do it? Did they get it done? Were they perfect? And it's step one. Are you clearing the bar of putting in the requisite effort and intensity on that side of the ball to keep you from being disqualified?
Which, it should be noted, for Lonnie Walker is a very specific thing because that was something by his own admission he struggled with a lot in San Antonio, like defensive focus, defensive intensity, like just putting that value on defense. He has talked openly about this was not a thing that he did enough regularly, particularly working off ball. I asked him specifically about that in media day, and he was very candid that that's a thing he needs to work on a lot.
Right. And so like when you start to break things down, you know, I'm not one of these people who says, you know, defense is just effort. Like if you just put in the effort, no, it is, especially on the NBA level, defense is incredibly complicated. It is complex. It is tricky. And if you are off by a quarter of a second in your decision-making, you're done. You are
cooked. It's hard as hell, man.
It is so goddamn hard. And so, you know, there are plenty of guys who were trying and just don't read fast enough to make the right decisions. They are doing their best. They're thrusting their way into the defensive schemes. But so like he could still screw up enough that it puts him on the bench, but you got to at least pass step one. And he certainly looked like that on Thursday. I mean, guys get it. The one good thing, I guess, about having a team full of dudes on 1-year contracts is that everybody kind of gets it. Everybody in theory is trying to play for their next one. And so, you know, you either get buried or you do what the coach is asking you to do.
Yeah. And look, we talked about that a lot heading into last season with Malik Monk, where, you know, it seemed like,
great example.
It ended up being revealed over time that he really didn't even so much bet on himself as he was forced to just take a contract that he didn't think he'd have to settle for. I mean, he really, his agent, his brother, revealed that, you know, I think the Lakers and Dallas were the only teams that really expressed a lot of interest, and the most came from the Lakers, and that was really the team he wanted to go to. And to Malik's credit, he busted his ass and he did a really good job last year. He ended up getting paid by Sacramento. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see.
It still wasn't like the big criticism, like in the parallels, you know, that he was seen as a really lousy defender,
right,
in Charlotte.
Look, Malik, to his credit, acknowledged that heading into last season. And, you know, while he did not, you know, he did not transform into the second coming of prime Ron Artest, he worked harder.
He tried. Like,
he absolutely tried. And trying matters.
It absolutely does. And trying will, first of all, it makes a difference in your performance. If you can go for a lot of these guys too, if Walker serves a purpose, and fill in a lot of guys, Walker, whoever, serves his purpose offensively in terms of being a downhill threat and pushing the ball with the second unit, whatever it is, And they can, you know, for some time, for some of these guys, it was certainly like that with Malik. It's just don't be a liability. Can you be something better than a flat out liability on the floor? And if you can clear that bar, the other stuff can make up for being average or making mistakes or just not quite being that great at it. But you know, we know you're putting in the effort. If you're not a flat liability, you open yourself up for the opportunity to let your other more fully formed skills shine through.
Yeah. I mean, at the very least, what I would say is, if you're going to be a liability, you can't be indifferent about being a liability. Like you can't be indifferent and worse. A liability. So,
yeah. All right. So we'll see what happens for the Lakers on Sunday. Hopefully Anthony Davis is on the floor with everybody else. Cause you know, again, we are only got three of these things left. And as much as I think six preseason games, probably too many, the Lakers do need a couple where they can really work through these rotations with Schroeder back, with hopefully Troy Brown, now that Lonnie Walker's back. So a lot of work to do for the Lakers. And they lose again on, I would say Thursday with a C team. I wouldn't even call this the B team. They were sort of playing the C team for throughout. Some of the really even the D team, because like, don't think they're going to be on the team. That's the D team. So we'll see you. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll be back after Sunday's game. And Locked On Lakers on YouTube. There you go.